Well, today we start a new series on the book of James, and it's going to be over several weeks here as we study the book of James. And this book, I am so excited about this study because this book is one of the most practical, if not the most practical book in all of the Bible. It meets us right where we live, and James, who was the half-brother of Jesus, is the one who wrote this book. And it's interesting that when we study this book, we can keep in mind the fact that the author, James, must have been many times reflecting on how he watched his brother live whenever he was writing these words. In other words, how did he see Jesus respond to various circumstances and situations? How did he act? How did he talk? How did he handle difficult and stressful situations? Now, we have the luxury to be able to look back in the Bible and see how Jesus did it. But James, when he was reflecting on Jesus living his life, he was able to recall from a personal perspective because he grew up with him. He saw him every day prior to Jesus' full-time ministry and with his disciples, with the apostles. But as he reflected on that, to see how Jesus handled life, I'm sure that James, in the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote this book with that as the backdrop. Now, before we get started here, and I want to give you time to open up, find the book of James and open up to the book of James, as we'll start in chapter 1 in just a minute. But by way of background, as I've already mentioned, the author is James, the brother of Jesus. He was also the leader of the church when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, and when he had ascended back to the Father. And in time, James rose in prominence in the Jerusalem church, and he was the leader of the church. He was the one that was the spokesperson for the church in writing to the Gentiles, saying that nothing more would be put upon them once the council had met in Jerusalem. And that's recorded in the book of Acts. But James was also the one that ultimately gave his life for the gospel. He was not one of the apostles, yet the leader in the church. But then a high priest arose, trumped up a case against James, and the early Christian writers tell us that he was thrown from the pinnacle of the temple, fell to the ground. The fall didn't itself kill him, but later on they came and they beat him with clubs and they stoned him. So when James writes this, even though this was probably a few years, obviously, before he would meet his demise, he's writing these words, and I know that these were the words that were not only written for us, but it would be words that he was reminded of by the power of the Holy Spirit when he met his end and when he went through difficult times. Nothing about his life was easy, because even in the early days of the church, there was persecution, there were difficulties, there were challenges, and yet he wrote these words to teach us how to live the Christian life. The date is probably around 40 to 50 A.D., and it was the audience, James, who he is writing to, were the Jews that were dispersed throughout Asia Minor and living among the Gentiles. So he is writing to what was known as the dispersion, or the diaspora in the Greek, those that were spread out. The theme of the book, well, James covers a lot of different things, again, about how we really live. Persevering through tough times. We'll see that right here in this chapter, in chapter 1. Controlling the tongue. Submitting to God's will in various circumstances. And what genuine faith really looks like. Now, some through the years have said that it seems like James and the Apostle Paul were at odds with one another. The Apostle Paul talked about how faith has to be apart from works. In other words, you can't achieve faith or you can't achieve a relationship with God through your good works. It's by faith alone. And yet later on, James talks about showing our faith by our good works. And some said, well, it seemed like they were at odds there. Well, true faith is not earned by works, Paul. And good works will be the natural outflow of genuine faith, James. Basically, two sides of the same coin. They go together. The way you show this faith that you have is how you live out your faith through good works and living in submission and in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we study the book of James, we might actually put it against the backdrop of something that Paul wrote, actually, in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So with that introduction, let's jump into the study of James in chapter 1. If you have your Bibles open, or your tablets, or whatever it is you're reading God's Word on. Beginning in verse 1, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 18, and you can follow along with me, and then we'll come back and we'll peel it away a little bit and study it more in depth. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, I want to stop there for just a second, because what you might look at verse 2 in a sense as the rudder on a ship. James is setting the rudder, because what he's going to address here later on, and when you go through those difficult times and go through those trials, James is telling us that we can actually experience joy in the midst of pain and suffering and trials. Now, there's only one way to be able to truly do that, and that is in the power of Jesus Christ. Because if you remember, Jesus Christ lived that life as well. He was a man of sorrows. He faced many difficulties, and ultimately, he gave his life for you and for me. Yet through it all, he experienced the joy. The joy of his relationship with the Father. How do you do that? Well, because he did, we can too. And James is basically giving us a forewarning. If you go to the doctor, for instance, and you get a diagnosis that is not good, do you want a doctor to say, oh, it's going to be fine. You're going to be just fine. Don't worry about it. It's not going to be that hard. We're going to give you the right meds. We're going to make the right diagnosis. We're going to move forward. We're going to give you just the right treatments. Don't worry about it. Do you want a doctor that is going to tell you that? Or do you want a doctor with their wisdom and their experience to be able to say, it's going to be hard. There's going to be tough days. There's going to be days when you're not going to feel good. But I believe we will get through this. You will get through this. And we're going to come alongside you, and you will get through this. And when those difficult days come, just remember I told you that they would come. Remember Jesus said, you will have trials. You will have difficulties. Even Jesus warned us that this life was not just going to be a bed of roses. And once you put your faith in him, then everything is fine. Even our Savior didn't tell us that. He prepared us for what we would face. James here is preparing you. He says, look, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. Now let's read on. Let's go on. Verse 4. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, an unstable in all of his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and let the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfastest under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, notice he say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of his truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's pray. Lord, we just simply pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the truth of your word. Lord, make it make sense to us. But more importantly, how that we can be obedient and apply it in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The text. Let's dive into the text here. James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. The first thing that we want to see here in this passage is that we can expect trials. We can expect trials. James is warning us. Jesus told us that we would go through difficult times. We would go through tough times in life. So we can expect trials. It's like that doctor I mentioned just a few minutes ago. When we go through those difficult times, do we want to be able to reflect on someone that warned us and helped us to anticipate it and know it ahead of time? Or do we just simply forget what anyone's told us or what the doctor said, and then when these trials come, these waves crash against us, we're confused and we're lost and we don't know what to do? When James says, when... not if you encounter various trials. Jesus said we'll have tribulations in John 16:33. Paul told us in Acts 14:22 the same thing. I'm reminded many years ago, when our kids were small, that we had a little experiment, and it was with a monarch butterfly. Yeah, it was confusing to me when I was first told about it, but you could order a cocoon through the mail, and it arrived by mail. And you had this little setup with the instructions and this little cocoon that was dangling by just a thread from the top, and it would eventually produce a monarch butterfly. I remember every morning the kids would get up, and I did too, would come down, and we would look at that little cocoon to see if there was any sign of life, any sign that the butterfly was about to emerge. Now, we followed these instructions explicitly. But I remember that it was mentioned more than once in bold letters in the instructions. Do not try to help the butterfly emerge from the cocoon. In other words, when you would see the crack in the cocoon, don't reach in there and try to pull it apart, because you're going to try to help the butterfly get out. It was the most pitiful experience to be able to watch this little thing when finally it was coming out, and it would quiver and it would quake, and it was like it was just stretching with straining again with all of its strength to try to get out of that. And you wanted to be able to reach in and just help him just a little bit. But no, the butterfly had to struggle. The butterfly had to strain against that, because it was through that process that its wings would be fully developed and its wings would be strong enough to carry the butterfly. If there was a short circuit of the process, then it would be stunted. And actually, to try to help the butterfly out of its stressful situation would actually hurt the butterfly. Now, I know sometimes when we go through difficulties and we go through trials, and you might be going through a very difficult time in your life right now. We all know that this COVID-19 and this pandemic has literally turned our lives upside down. Maybe you're in the midst of, you've either lost a job, or maybe it's tenuous whether or not your job will continue. Whatever it is, maybe you've been diagnosed with a sickness. Maybe you have actually had COVID-19, or you're struggling with it right now. Maybe because of the tension of this circumstance, that tension has been brought into your family in various ways. Whatever it is, God can help us and assist us through that. And through that process, it will, if we have the right perspective, that process will actually strengthen our faith rather than hurt it. It's not easy, but it is true. And James says to expect trials, to prepare for the trials. Where do the trials come from? Well, a lot of the trials can come from ourselves, from foolish decisions that we make. When we act on something before we fully thought it through or considered the ramifications of that. I think just about everybody can identify with seeing something that just looks so good from the beginning, and how could it possibly be wrong? But we don't pray about it. We don't take our time to think about it. We don't process it. And we just jump in, and then lo and behold, we look back and we find out that, wow, this had some really, really serious consequences for this decision. We've all made those kind of decisions. And in fact, in the book over here, he says in verse 13, he says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm being tempted by God.'" Because it says in verse 14, "But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed by his own desires." Desires sometimes have to be kept in check before we act on them. So some of the trials that we'll go through, we brought on ourselves because of the decisions we make. Some of them are brought on by others. Maybe as Jesus said, we saw in Jesus' life where those despitefully used him. He said that sometimes you people will despitefully use you. Maybe you've been mistreated by somebody. Maybe the trial has been brought on to you by someone else. Some other person. Our adversary can bring trials into our lives. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." John 10:10, Jesus told us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, "But I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Satan's agenda has not changed since the beginning of time. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But remember the next sentence. Jesus said, "But I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Reflecting back to verse 2, what James said, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials in your life." So it can come from ourselves because of decisions we make. The trials and it can come from others. It can come from our adversary. But here's a distinction I want to be clear and make as we understand here in Scripture. Because the Scripture, as we just read, God does not tempt anyone. Satan comes to tempt us. Situations in life, because of our lust, our deep desires, those can be tempting. It can, as the Scripture says, lure us away, much like a fish is lured away by the bait. So those are temptations, and temptations are to see you fail. Testing is to see you succeed. God will sometimes bring testing into our lives, but it's never to crush us. It's never to see us fail. It is to prepare us. It is to conform us to the image of Jesus. It is to help us get to the next step. When a teacher, now I know probably you think back on some of your teachers and you're thinking, no, I think that teacher definitely wanted to crush me and see me fail. Well, that might be debatable, but by and large, our teachers, when they give us that test, and I know I had a few of those teachers where it looked like they took great pleasure and a lot of time preparing that test to just make my life miserable. Most of the time, though, is because I just didn't study right. But anyways, when the teacher issues that test, what is the purpose of that test? The purpose of the test is to evaluate your learning and to help you move forward to the next step. when God brings a test into our life, just like what he did with Abraham. What did he do with Abraham whenever he brought that test in his life? I can't even imagine that test. Immediately, God rescued him, but now what? It was one more thing that prepared Abraham to be the father of many nations. So the test is to help us succeed. I want you to think about, Jesus was tested. What was the purpose, for instance, of the Garden of Gethsemane? When he was about to give his life, what was the purpose of that event when Jesus was under so much pressure that he was sweating drops of blood, that he was suffering, and he was pouring his heart out to the Father? What was the purpose in that? It had a purpose. He immediately set his sight on what the goal was, and that was the cross. That had been in his sights all along. But Jesus was also human, and he was struggling, just like you and I will struggle sometimes with the difficulties of life. And in Luke chapter 22, verses 42 through 44 was the occasion where Jesus said, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Isn't that great news? And that's what God will do with us whenever we go through those trials. When we cry out to the Lord, he will strengthen us. He will undergird us. But that wasn't the end of the scene, because there was still verse 44. And what did verse 44 say? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Jesus. He's crying out to the Lord. The angel comes to strengthen him. But all of the problems don't just go away. Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. God gave him the strength that he needed to continue on and to finish the course and finish the journey. But the journey was not over yet. In my life, I have faced various trials and difficulties, just like you. And if 10 years ago, God had told me, "Hey, by the way, I just want to give you a little understanding of everything you will face and every difficulty you will go in the next 10 years and every loss you will experience," I would have been overcome and I would have given up. You know, as an only child, one of the things that was always in the back of my mind was the feeling, fear of loss and the fear of being alone. Job, apparently, in his difficulties, he gives us a little insight in the early chapter of Job whenever he said, "Everything that I've dreaded has come upon me." So apparently, even though Job was greatly blessed and God told Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" But yet, in the back of Job's mind, he gives us a clue that everything that happened to him was something that he feared from the very beginning. And if God just laid out for us everything we're going to experience in our lives, we'd never make it. We'd become overcome with fear and depression and sadness and grief. But he doesn't. It's one day, one step at a time with God. And he strengthens us for the moment to continue the course and being conformed into the image of Jesus. Folks, let's not ever forget, we were never created for this earth forever. We are created for a relationship with God and to spend eternity with him. So this world, this life will have difficulties. Expect the trials. Number two, accept the trials. Got to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Accept the trials. Verses 3 and 4. Trials build endurance and wholeness. God loves us too much to leave us where we are. When we face trials in our lives, without the right perspective from the Spirit, we'll become bitter instead of better. It is only by God's grace, with some of the difficulties that I've faced in life, that I've not become bitter, that I've given up on faith or given up on God. No, the miracle of it is that I can say, God, I'm not mad at you. And I'm not losing my faith. Why? You said we would have trials in this life and difficulties. We would struggle. We would suffer with loss. James here. And I remember reading and studying and teaching from the book of James 3 decades ago. It stuck with me. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. If you cross-reference with verse 16, it says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Remember earlier he said, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. When we go through these difficult times and we don't understand, in order to be able to accept them, it doesn't mean you have to like them. In fact, the scripture says that we should be grateful in all things and not for all things. I can't honestly go to God and say, thank you that you brought that difficulty into my life, or thank you that this difficulty came into my life, or this trial came into my life. Thank you for that. No, I can thank him for what he will do through that, but for the trial itself, it's painful, and it hurts, and it's devastating. But to accept the trial is to have God's perspective that in we can give thanks to him in all things, but not for all things. We give thanks to him. And how do we get through that? How do we accept it? So we ask for his wisdom. Lord, how should I approach this? How do I take that? There's literally been times in my life when I have said, one thing comes to my mind in particular that I can think of, where I literally cried out to God, Lord, I am so sad, I am so depressed, I'm so overwhelmed right now. I need your strength to literally take the next step. Help me, Lord Jesus. And he did. And then the step after that, and then the step after that. Most of what we'll understand about God's grace and mercy and kindness is when we look back, because hindsight's always 20/20. When we're in the midst of it, we need his grace and his mercy just to accept the trial and move forward and not become bitter or give up. Thirdly, trust God through the trials. Trust God through the trials. Expect trials. Accept trials as part of this life, but trust God through the trials. That's what he said in verses 5 and 6. If you lack wisdom, again, ask God. But trust God as you go through the trial, as you go through the difficulties. When we look back over our lives, and we can see various trials that we've gone through, the benefit of looking back is to see that he brought us through those, even though when we were in the midst of them, it didn't seem like it might ever end or it might ever pass. Trust God. When we need wisdom, we need to go to God. The wisdom of God to understand and navigate through the trials of life is what? It's a gift of God, as he says in verse 16. It's a gift of God. It is just like that angel coming as he strengthened Jesus. And finally, one last point. Grow through the trials. Grow through the trials. Grow for God's benefit. Show God's faithfulness in your life. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light shine before men, in such a way that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Even as you go through the difficult times and the difficulties in your life, what God can do in your life, and he strengthens you and he gives you wisdom to go through that trial, others are watching it. Now, it's not that we live our life for others, but we live our lives understanding that others are watching. And even when you go through a trial, then God can bring glory to himself and others can see the faithfulness of God. And when you go through a difficulty, then you will in turn, and when you come out the other end, you will in turn be able to help someone else that might go through the same thing. Grow for God's benefit. Grow for your benefit. You'll be able to handle greater challenges that life will bring. And finally, grow for others' benefit. You can help others through the challenges of life. It is good to look back over one's life and see, wow, I can see how much I grew through that time. In fact, if we're really honest with ourselves, we grow in our intimacy with Jesus. We grow in our faith through the difficult times of life rather than the easy times. I can think of lots of fun and easy events in my life, but I can also think that when I grew the most was through trials and difficulties. And I can attest to God's faithfulness through it all. Just like that little monarch butterfly, trying to emerge from that cocoon, quivering and shaking and straining. And yet what then emerged with this was this beautiful butterfly with strong wings that we in turn one day then took outside, opened the cage, and it flew off because the process worked exactly the way God designed it, not man. So if you're going through difficulties, I hope that as you study the book of James, that he started off with the most practical way. Expect trials. You will go through trials, but you do not have to lose your faith. You don't have to give up. You do not have to be overcome by those trials. Trust God in the midst of those trials. But what's important to understand in everything that James wrote is assuming a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, then it's hard. It's impossible to make it through this life with any sense of hope and perseverance through the difficulties and the challenges of life. James is writing with the assumption that we would have a personal relationship with Christ. So the question to you today is, do you have that personal relationship with Christ? Have you placed your faith and trust in Him? Have you done what Romans tells us, what the Apostle Paul says, to confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead so that you might be saved? In the book of John, the most famous verse of all, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I hope that you will do that. If you've never done that in your life today, I hope that you will. Christian, I pray that today God's word has been an encouragement to you, a reminder to you, a refresher to you, that we will go through difficult times, but we are not alone. It is the practical experience of what Jesus said, that lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So when we go through those difficult times, we just simply need to call out to the Lord. Whether it's been something that we have caused ourselves, or someone has done something to us, or it's just the circumstance of life, or whatever it may be, to call out to God for His wisdom to see you through. Let's pray together. Lord, I just pray that you will help us to take your word that we've learned today, and that, Lord, we will walk with you this week, that we will listen to you, we will follow you, we will trust you as we go through the challenges of life. And Lord, through it all, we pray that you would conform us to the image of Jesus, that you would strengthen us in our faith, but most importantly, that we would bring glory to you and perhaps be a help to others as we go through various trials and emerge through them in victory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Joining us online, we hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, Of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.